It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
With the electors set to vote on who the next president will be in just 5 days, President Trump is pinning his hopes on a Supreme Court case filed by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton.
These elections in other states where state law was not followed as required by the Constitution affects my voters because these are national elections.
Paxton is asking the Supreme Court to block electors from voting in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Georgia, claiming those states' moves to massively expand mail-in voting broke the law.
That election, we can't go back and fix it, but we can say, okay, let's transfer this to the legislature, which used to do this in other states, and let them to decide the outcome of the election. That would be a valid constitutional situation.
President Trump gave the petition a big thumbs up, tweeting, "We will be intervening in the Texas plus many other states case. This is the big one. Our country needs a victory." Some supporters of the president questioned the wisdom of him jumping into the case, feeling it would be better if the president left it to the states. Arkansas, among 17 states joining Texas, Attorney General Leslie Rutledge announcing, "I have determined that I will support the motion by the state of Texas in all legally appropriate manners. The integrity of our elections is a critical part of our nation and must be upheld." No word on whether the Supreme Court will take up the case, but it has asked the defendant states for a response by 3 p.m. Thursday. The Texas case falls on the heels of a loss in the Supreme Court for Congressman Mike Kelly and congressional candidate Sean Parnell. The court denied Kelly and Parnell an injunction to block further certification of the vote in Pennsylvania. The two say they're not done yet.
We were not granted a temporary injunctive relief. It does not mean that our lawsuit does not go forward. It means that the temporary injunction relief, that part has been taken away, and it's going to allow the state to move forward with appointing their electors. But by no way is this over.
27 Republican members of Congress sent a letter to President Trump urging him to direct Attorney General Bill Barr to appoint a special prosecutor to get to the bottom of how the election unfolded. In the letter, the lawmakers saying Americans deserve a definite resolution and the legitimate questions of voter fraud remain unanswered.
All right, there was John Roberts, the familiar voice on Fox. But I want to do this thing backwards. He claimed in that report, as you're hearing everywhere, that the Supreme Court rejected the Pennsylvania case. I read, and I'm going to get to Andy McCarthy's article in just a second. People are declaring that. Now, listen, I heard two legal experts yesterday say, they were in private meetings, so I can't say who they were, but they said, no, they did not reject it. They rejected part of it. I believe they asked for Pennsylvania not to be able to certify their electors this coming week, and that's the part they rejected, but not the case itself. And so as far as I can tell, that's just not true, and yet you keep hearing that repeated. The Supreme Court refused to hear it, even didn't sign the response, didn't give any names, didn't give them any option. It's amazing how it's being spun. So that case is not over. All right, can I be clear about that? And on the 17 states, I just want to tell you who those states are because we talked about it so much yesterday. I want to itemize it because I want you to know who they are. It's Missouri. And by the way, the attorney general there is leading the charge. I don't have his name here. Missouri, Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Indiana, Kansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, North Dakota, Oklahoma, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, and West Virginia. And just last night, Arizona joined. That's Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich. So it's amazing. Could I just pause to say, why do you think that so many attorneys general join in so quickly? Do you think it was because they were so enthused to do this, given the criticism and the blowback? You know, I maintain it's because you called them and contacted them. There are hundreds of thousands of people I know of, I believe probably I know of almost 200,000 from various sources right now, who in 24 hours contacted their attorneys general and asked them to sign on to this Texas brief, and they did do that. And so I'm just saying, as I said to you before, it's you. It's you. It's going to make the difference here. Because the news media is just hell-bent on lying to you, presenting it falsely, misleading people, not telling them what's going on. You know that. You know that. That's why you listen to this show. I know it is. That's why this show has grown, because you're getting desperate for places that you can trust and actually hear the whole story. You know, sometimes I've said this before, but I will say again, years ago I learned that the news media, because they have been actually doing this on some scale for a very long time, they don't just, it's not only just what they misrepresent, it's what they leave out. In fact, that's the worst right there. John, like for instance, in his report, that was a very incomplete report on Pennsylvania. The Supreme Court did not reject the whole case. They only rejected that one part, but he didn't explain that, did he? And so that's what I'm saying. What they leave out is worse than what they actually twist. Okay, so that's happening. And today at 3 o'clock, the states, Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Georgia, will have to respond to the Supreme Court. So we'll see what happens. A person that I heard speak yesterday said that he actually thinks the Supreme Court will hear this over the weekend. So I don't know. Nobody really knows. But I'm just telling you, that's the update for this morning. All right, so by contrast, my good friend, go figure, Andy McCarthy writes in the National Review, this is his headline, Texas frivolous lawsuit seeks to overturn election in four other states. And it starts out with, there is no way the Supreme Court is going to entertain Texas's lawsuit. The first thing to notice about Texas' desperation lawsuit, which seeks to overturn the result of the 2020 presidential election, is what does not appear. And then he goes into the weeds about internecine, and understand there's some problems in Texas between the Solicitor General and between Attorney General Ken Paxton, and that's a whole other issue, which I'm not prepared to comment on. But Andy is declaring that there's just no way. There's no way. Now, look, maybe Andy's right, but I don't see how he can say that. I don't see how anybody can say what's going to happen with any kind of certitude. I didn't hear that from the experts I talked to or heard from yesterday either. Certitude. They think the court's going to take it. They think the fact that the court is allowing these states to respond today by 3 o'clock or is demanding that they do respond indicates that they're thinking about taking this. So, all right, so... And then Andy repeats in his article, he says, to repeat a point I've made before, the court did not grant review of the case from Pennsylvania that it should have taken, involving a narrow critical issue of constitutional law pertaining to elections. So it's not true, Andy. I don't get that. I just don't get it, what's going on here. But we have to be so careful. I want you to be reminded that this weekend there is a march in Washington. You heard the Fox report on the news just a few minutes ago. Oh, these people are going to, last time only 16,000 people came. Yeah, not really. That's not true. It's going to be, if you go to millionmagamarch.us, millionmagamarch.us, you can find out information. And I'm hoping that thousands of you will get in your cars and come to D.C. The thing that you want to not do is be by yourself. You want to make sure you stay in the march. You don't want to hang out at night in D.C. or think you're going to go downtown and have fun. It's not that kind of a trip. My husband and I are going to be there, too. You have to stay together, stay with the group. And because the people that attack, they do that when they pair people off. Get them by themselves. They always attack the weak. They're such brave souls. You know, they wear masks and black, and they hit people from behind. They're very courageous. So anyway, so those are some cautions, but it's millionmagamarch.us. All right. For more information about that, that's what I meant to say. All right, so in keeping with the same kind of twists, Howard Kurtz on Fox News has this headline that caught my eye. It says, threats rising as Trump pushes to overturn the election. Now, could I say that they're continually saying Trump is doing this and Trump is doing that for him, for his sake? He wants to win. He wants to take this back. He doesn't want to lose, et cetera, et cetera. There's never any mention of the American people, the millions of us, what, almost 80, who don't like, do not believe this is a fair election. We believe it was stolen. And we understand that the future of our country will be very different if President Trump prevails or if Joe Biden takes the reins. It will be a nightmare for us. It will be a nightmare for the country. I saw one of those other business owners in California last night on MSNBC. Just horrible story about being put out of business and how she's on her last bit of money and she's having to lay employees off and she has a medical condition. I mean, she was a very credible. She wasn't a whiner. She just said, this is going to be worse than the Great Depression. And this is our future. If we don't have someone at the helm who has common sense, because it bleeds down into every single avenue and every decision, there's a reason why the economy flourished and why we felt there was a new lease on life after the dreadful 8 Obama years, which caused such destitution. It really did. Loss of jobs. Remember, Obama told us that was the new normal. We were just going to have to get used to it. And then President Trump comes along and with his common sense, not just on economics, but other things. Family issues and gender issues brought kind of sanity to the country for the last 4 years. So we are choosing sanity again, and that's why we're fighting back. But Howard goes, his article, threats rising as Trump pushes to overturn the election. President Trump is ramping up his rhetoric on the election after a Supreme Court smackdown. Again, Pennsylvania. Supreme Court smackdown that required all of one sentence. And then he goes on and he says, despite a conservative majority with Amy Coney Barrett on board, the High Court refused without dissent to hear the appeal. So then he quotes President Trump's tweets he just says something about, I don't see the tweets, but it's certainly no threats. It's just saying we've got to overturn this election. We have to stop this because it's going to be a disaster if we don't stop it. So this is what Howard characterizes that. Against this backdrop, the threats are emerging as a national story. As rounded up by the New York Times, they range from an Arizona Republican Party urging supporters to be willing to die for something, to a Democratic state rep in Michigan, Darren Camilleri, getting emails that say, be prepared to take your last meal. And we're looking forward to bringing back firing squads, and goes on and on. So according to Howard, it's all violence threatened against Democrats, and there's a ton of it growing, and it's President Trump's fault. And then along comes Cynthia Johnson, who is a state representative in Michigan, making a video yesterday, which Howard didn't mention in his article, but I thought you might listen to what she had to share. Clip 4. Clip 4.
So this is just a warning to you Trumpers. Be careful. Walk lightly. We ain't playing with you. Enough of the shenanigans. Enough is enough. And for those of you who are soldiers, you know how to do it. Do it right. Be in order. Make them pay. I love y'all. Bye-bye.
That's Democrat Cynthia Johnson in Michigan threatening Trump supporters very clearly. And when you watch these marches or you see things happening in the street, it is not Democrats who are being attacked. I don't know what, Howard came from ABC and he sort of, I think, pretended, sort of walked a careful line as a quasi, you know, guy down the middle. And I think now he's feeling emboldened. But what he wrote is just untrue. What he wrote is a distortion. Well, so here we go. More distortions. The millionmagamarch.us is a million. I don't know if a million will come. I hope a million people do come. Because it's the weekend before the electors are chosen on next week on the 14th. And so I hope that you'll come. Look at millionmagamarch.us and come prepared. So Sandy Rios in the morning. Oh, don't go away. Sandy Rios in the morning, AFR Talk.
Mainstream media doesn't want you to know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, had a racist legacy stemming from her well-documented connections with the eugenics movement. Planned Parenthood positions their clinics in low-income neighborhoods even today and performs abortions on minorities at an alarming rate. I'm Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound. Preborn centers compete with Planned Parenthood every day in the cause for life, and Preborn is making a huge impact. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country as they equip centers to save more babies and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Scott Cameron, Acting Assistant Secretary for Policy, Management, and Budget. He oversees policy development and a variety of other mission essential functions at the Department of the Interior. Psalm 2:8 reminds us of the importance of the lands God provided us. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Scott Cameron in his work at the Department of the Interior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team. Create a heartfelt holiday message to send to the President and his family. It's a special Christmas greeting from your family to the First Family. It's free at pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is more than just exceptional academic programs, NCAA athletics, and state-of-the-art facilities. They believe in training champions for Christ. They know that where academic excellence and unwavering faith meet, there is liberty. Explore their campus virtually and learn how you can train as a champion for Christ online or on campus by texting Todd to the number 49596. That's Todd to the number 49596. There is a Christmas tree controversy in the rotunda of the Wisconsin State Capitol. Governor Tony Evers, who is a Democrat, decided not to put a tree in the building this year, ending a 100-year tradition. The China virus, that's the reason why, at least that's what he says. That did not set well with Wisconsin Republicans, so they decided to ask permission to haul out the holly and deck the rotunda with some Yuletide spirit. State bureaucrats turned down that request, so two state representatives took matters into their own hands. They bought their own Christmas tree, and they set it up in the middle of the rotunda. Well, that set off Democrats who accused the Republicans of breaking state house rules. Whether or not the governor allows the tree to stand, not all that clear, but it's really absurd. The good people of Wisconsin have been through a lot this year. We all have. And what better way to remember the hope we have than gathering around a Christmas tree? I'm Todd Starnes.
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the morning.
Valley shall be exalted. Sandy Rios back with you. And, you know, it is Christmas. Actually, we've been decorating our house, and that's been fun. I was listening yesterday to Christmas music and just enjoying. You know, I know that, again, this is not the Christmas holiday is very Western civilization, and we've made much of it. That some of it, you know, it's like Easter. We've kind of merged it with some pagan traditions. I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as we keep Christ in the center and we understand which is which and what is what. So I love Christmas, and I loved it's time for families, and I know it's going to be sad. A lot of families will not be together, but let's really worship and celebrate the birth of Jesus. No one can stop us from doing that, and they're not going to stop us. So, all right, I have a lot to tell you, and I do want to open the phone line, so just hang on. I want to tell you a few things here. We could already be getting calls. This is obviously, I want to talk about the election. We're going to keep doing that until we get past this, because I think that's the priority. And it's kind of, I'm having to neglect some news in order to do this properly. But our phone number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. All right, so yesterday, YouTube announces, are you ready for this? YouTube has decided that they are no longer going to post anything or allow, I guess, anything on their platform that talks about widespread voter fraud or alleges widespread voter fraud, because, of course, there is none, right? There is none. So YouTube is going to prevent you from seeing it, posting it. You're not going to know about election fraud, and neither are your neighbors. So they're going to join network television, and Vox is still reporting it, some. And certainly a lot of the hosts are covering it. But you're not going to be able to see it. Josh Hawley responded to this announcement. He says, Google-owned YouTube officially announcing free speech no longer allowed. If you have concerns about election integrity, you must sit down and shut up. Repeal Section 230 and break these companies up. God bless Josh Hawley, because he's absolutely right about that. And let me just tell you again that Rumble, I think it's spelled R-U-M-B-L, is an alternative to YouTube. Of course, it's not as big yet, but we're trying to, you know, shake the trees and get people to switch over to Rumble, because it will be a free, meaning free speech platform. Dan Bongino is one of the founders of that outlet. I want to mention again that the Million MAGA March is taking place this Saturday in Washington, D.C., and we hope that you'll come. I hope that you'll just get in your cars and come, because it is the people, it's we the people, that are going to make this happen. It's not the news. It's not the politicians. Actually, I ran out of time to tell you, but there are efforts now in the Senate, efforts in the House, efforts in state capitals. Politicians are beginning to speak up, and that's because of you. It's because of you. I saw one in Wisconsin. He said they had 1,000 calls right after the election into that one office of people saying, you can't do this. And so even Wisconsin now is taking a step back and saying, wait a minute. Maybe we should think about what we're certifying here. Okay, so, and that's because of you. And I want to say also, if you did not hear your state in that lineup of 17 attorneys general, there are 25 Republican attorneys general in this country. So there are more that should be signing on to this. And if the Supreme Court gets enough states, I should think 17 would make them take pause. But if they get more, it will make them take more pause about this suit that's being brought by Texas. Go to afaaction.net, afaaction.net, and you'll see that alert about contacting your attorneys general on the right there. You can't miss it. All right, so, and for the march, did I say? MillionMegaMarch.us, MillionMegaMarch.us. Just go there for information. And I'm not sure if you have to sign up. I'm not sure. I want to tell you, the big story that I'm not going to spend time on today because I can't, is that Hunter Biden's taxes are now being investigated by Delaware. That became public knowledge yesterday. You know, Hunter Biden is so corrupt, and his father is so corrupt. We know this, and yet the news media, CNN, we have the undercover video meetings that they did where they decided they're not going to cover that because it might help Donald Trump and it might hurt Joe Biden. So we're just not going to cover that. But now they've, now that they think Joe Biden's the president-elect, they're continuing this. You just wonder how much life that will have. Hunter, of course, is very connected to China. He's taken millions of dollars from China for who knows what, because he's no expert on energy. That's for sure. And the Chinese are bragging. That professor was bragging just this week. This is another story I wish we'd had more time on. Maybe we will next week, depending on how things go. But a professor in China giving a lecture a few days ago bragging about, you know, when during the Obama years, we could solve any problem within 2 weeks, any problem that came up. He gave several examples. But with Trump, we can't, no one can control him. We can't do anything. So it's a problem, you see. And then he said, but we have connections. We have influence at the very highest areas in American governance. So, and not to worry, the audience is laughing. So I'm thinking maybe he's talking about, maybe president-elect, which I don't say, but that's what he calls himself, president-elect Joe Biden. Strong ties to China, doesn't criticize China, has been an advocate for China because American politicians have made a ton of money from China on both sides of the aisle. That's one of the reasons I think that's at the heart of why they hate President Trump so much. He's really messed up their good thing that's been going. And so there are a lot of tributaries to this, deserves much longer conversation. You know that Eric Swalwell now has been revealed to have been infiltrated by a Chinese spy for something like 6 years. He's on the House Intelligence Committee. He's the one that went after President Trump with a vengeance, kept digging his heels in, saying President Trump was, you know, a Russian agent. Well, he might know something about how that works, you think? And so that's a very interesting story, and you'll have to get that from other sources for the moment. But one last story I have to tell you, because I talked about this. You may not hear this any place else. Does anybody remember the name Seth Rich? This is a story that I covered a lot because I found it fascinating. This, do you remember by chance that the during the 20s, well, it was after President Obama was elected, maybe a second term, the Democratic National Committee email were hacked. And suddenly they started telling us it was Russia that hacked it, but no one could ever confirm that. And it wasn't the FBI under Comey did not go in to examine it. They just allowed the Democrats to tell them it was Russia that hacked it. But we always knew that wasn't quite right. And Julian Assange, who swore that it wasn't Russia, but he didn't tell us who, hinted that it might be someone who was inside the DNC. And there was a young man named Seth Rich who was in charge of the digital operations at the headquarters, who in the early morning hours in Washington, D.C. one night was it's like 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. He's walking along and he gets shot and killed by two entities. We don't know who they were. They didn't steal anything, his watch, his money, nothing. It was an execution. And so people began to ask questions because, and put together the fact that, and some had actually said, I don't know what the source of this was, but that Seth was likely the leaker and that he was on his way to meet with a contact to hand over information about the email that that he felt was damaging and that he had a conscience about, because the DNC email that were leaked did have a lot of damaging stuff to the DNC and to Hillary Clinton. But Seth was murdered inadvertently, and the FBI told us at the time, "Oh no, that's just that was local police. There was nothing to it. It was just a case of, you know." I think they even said it was robbery, but it wasn't robbery. Nothing was stolen from Seth. Well, I just found out this morning. Came out yesterday in the afternoon. After 4 years of stonewalling, the FBI finally admits that they are holding Seth Rich's laptop. They told us there was nothing to it, nothing to see. The FBI agent swore under oath that it was nothing. They had searched information about Seth Rich, and they couldn't find anything, but just a few random, nothing to see, that there was no case. And now we know they still have his laptop, which means that should have been returned to his family, but it wasn't. So just saying, we'll probably never know what the answer to this is. Or someone has speculated the FBI is now sort of writing about this because they know that it may come out and they're kind of doing damage control. I don't know what the truth is there, but all I know is I believe Seth Rich was murdered. And of course, you became like a birther or a ridiculous person for alleging something like that. Kind of like, I find Sidney Powell's kind of moving into that category. Suddenly, this woman who is so brilliant and so capable, somehow they have managed to make her a marginal character, as though she's doing something bizarre by talking about these voter machines. And it's like icky to embrace Sidney Powell. And Sidney has this incredible record, but this is what happens. That's the old Saul Alinsky, target someone and destroy them. Sydney's dangerous, so she must be destroyed, and you better not, defend her, because that makes you kind of a icky person, like a birther, or, you know, a Sidney Powell-er. I don't know. Listen, don't count me in that, because I still don't think Obama had a proper birth certificate, and I know, because, listen, I studied that a lot. I don't know if he was born in Kenya, but there was something really nefarious about that birth certificate, so I don't care what people think about me. I believe what is true. I want to know what's true, and I don't care what people think about me for exploring what I believe is not true. And I don't get my opinions from people's persuasions or threats or inferences or shaming. I'm not doing that. And I don't want you to do that either. You can be mad at me or you can disagree with me. I don't care. We have open opinions. You have a right to your own mind. This is what we have to retain, our ability to think clearly. We do not want to give that up to some social media company, to a Mark Zuckerberg, to an entity named Google. No, thank you. No, thank you. You can bring the shaming on. I'd rather be shamed than be silenced. Okay, so that's Seth Rich. All right, I do want to go to the phone lines. I got myself worked up here. It is a reason to be worked up, isn't it? I do think we have forgotten what free speech and free thought is all about. We have lost our treasuring of it. Our kids don't have any idea. They have not been like I was in East Germany when the wall was still in Berlin, when I lived in Berlin as a younger woman, very young woman, right out of college. And they did not go through Checkpoint Charlie with the guns aimed at me and from beautiful, vibrant West Berlin into a silent, gray, colorless East Berlin. They did not go with me into those restaurants to eat where people sat silently. All you could hear was the click of their forks. They did not go to sporting events like my husband at the time participated in where no one clapped. You don't know what it's like not to be free. It's hell, and we do not want that hell, and that's what we're entering into if we don't fight. All right, our phone number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Julia in Texas. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So what's on your mind? Yes, we can hear you.
Well, first, I applaud you very much for the action, call to action about encouraging people to call the attorneys general in their state. I live in the great state of Texas, and our attorney general has taken the lead on that.
Yes, he has.
I just wanted to urge you perhaps to add another comment to that action, because what I have read a couple of places is that it's not just enough to file the amicus brief to be in support, but to urge the attorneys general to intervene and become a co-litigant. I think that makes a more powerful case before the court, is what I understood. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't speak to the veracity of that, but that's what I've read from other lawyers.
Well, that's interesting, Julia. I can't comment on it either, and of course I can't encourage people to do it until I've had a little more chance to look at that. But maybe some people are attorneys, and they'll understand that, and they can add that to their comments to the attorney general. There's no reason why it can't be added to comments as people contact their attorney generals. It's a very interesting thought. Thanks, Julia. I appreciate you listening. Let's go to Preston in Louisiana. Good morning, Preston.
Good morning. How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. First off, I just wanted to say God bless you. Thank you for being a patriot, for standing up for the truth in this country. And it just means so much to me and so much to the silent movement. So I just want to say that.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a nice compliment.
And also,
thank you.
I want to reach out. So the media has been, the mainstream media has been pushing propaganda to everyone, and I just want the truth out there. So please, I encourage all of you listeners to listen to Sandy, to go on YouTube, and Newsmax, and One American Network. They're doing better. So we need to get the truth out to people and the reality of what's going on, because our time right now, we're in a pinnacle of time. My daughter's 5 years old, and I worry about the world she's going to grow up in. You know, because of where we are. So just thank you so much. And please, everyone, stand up for America. You know, I'm in Louisiana. We just joined the Texas attorney. I'm very proud of that. And I want all the states to join on, because this is ridiculous.
Yep. Preston, I love your passion, and you are absolutely right. And, I'm encouraged because you're younger. You have a five-year-old daughter, and you get it. You get it. God bless you for getting it. So now recruit. And I bet you are. So just keep speaking about this. Speak about it to your friends and businesses and everywhere. I think we have to get the word out. We can't depend on the press. But I appreciate those suggestions. They're very good ones. Thank you so much, Preston. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
How much does a 6-month subscription to the AFA Journal cost? It's free! For 6 months, you can read articles and updates in the pro-life movement. You can read about family-friendly entertainment, laws that may impact your family or your business, and of course, what the American Family Association is up to and how you can help. So what are you waiting for? Visit afajournal.org for your free 6-month subscription to the AFA Journal.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. No one likes to suffer difficult circumstances. In this era of easy believism, it's often conveyed, if life isn't always smooth, we're doing something wrong. The scripture teaches us, however, that our Lord often meets fruitful branches with additional pruning. The pruning is not punishment. It's actually to make us even more fruitful. If you're in a rough spot right now, take heart. What may feel like the squeeze to end all squeezes could very well be the Lord's pruning for additional fruitfulness. When the Lord prunes us, he does so for our good.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Andy McCarthy is one of the most brilliant legal minds in America. Although he has been skeptical of legal efforts to overturn election results, he finds a newly filed lawsuit in Georgia to have compelling evidence of massive electoral fraud. Now, the governor of Georgia is a Republican, and the secretary of state in Georgia is a Republican. Yet, according to McCarthy, somehow these incompetent politicians allowed 143,968 illegal votes to be cast in Georgia. Since Joe Biden's margin of victory is only 12,000 votes, these flatly illegal votes stole the election in Georgia from President Trump. If the courts do their job, they will instruct the state legislature to select a brand new slate of electors and justice will be done.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. To paraphrase T.S. Eliot, freedom dies not with a bang, but with a whimper. Look no further than what Google-owned YouTube has just done to your liberty. It won't allow more posts alleging widespread fraud in the 2020 presidential race. If you want the latest on whether former Vice President Joe Biden won the White House thanks to, quote, widespread glitches or counting errors, unquote, forget about it. Now, the reason for thus restricting freedom of speech is not the absence of factual grounds for such claims. There's actually plenty and more emerging by the day. And it's not because you have no need to know about evidence that the presidency is being stolen. To the contrary, your future, as well as the country's, is on the line. Rather, YouTube wants to make you accept a stolen election. We must resist such tyranny, not whimper about it. This is Frank Gaffney.
Christmas from American Family Radio and Sandy Rios in the Morning. Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy Rios back with you. All right, so getting lots of, listen, the email and Facebook posts have been, I really, really enjoy them. And even if I can't get to them, most of the time, hardly ever do I respond because I just can't. But they do really encourage me and the staff. So I just want you to know that. And I want to just say that, give a shout out to just a few people who are working hard. They've been listening, and so they've been contacting their congressmen and senators. Carmen is one of those. She's down in Texas, I think. And Jill is in Virginia. She's actually set up it's called VirginiaElectionTrust.com, where she's been putting things about Virginia and how to get active and events. So if you're in Virginia, it's VirginiaElectionTrust.com. Jill, that's great. And so I want to mention that. And also Carrie said she got in. Carrie is from where? Let's see. She's from Waco, Texas. She said, I've contacted every Republican senator to stand up behind President Trump. And with Mitch McConnell, she actually put on his, as a Republican leader in the Senate, you should be setting the example. So she did a beautiful one to Mitt Romney about her own life change and how he needs to forgive President Trump and start kind of helping in this process. It was a beautiful little bit. So that's the kind of thing that we're hearing this morning. Dawn says, I never see your posts on my Facebook page. And I liked your page 2 years ago. This is the point. The reason I'm reading this out loud is because I've been telling you, you know, the Facebook, I've never mentioned that until the last couple of days. Of course, according to them, we have, I think, 23,000 people, something like that. And we used to get, you know, like on a post, we'd get 10,000 people that would share it or read it or whatever. And nothing like that. It's like suddenly I've lost my audience. If it were up to Facebook, I'm sure that would be true, and that's the impression they want to create. So Dawn is saying she's going to physically go to the page daily and start sharing things, especially, she said, things with an attached fact check. Yeah, okay, so that's what you do need to do when we put things on Facebook. You need to go to the – just make a habit of going there because it's not going to come into your feed. All right. So now I want to go to the phone lines. Our phone number is 888-589-8840. And I'm anxious to hear from each and every one of you. Let's go to Henry. He's in Texas. Good morning. We had a lot of Texas people this morning listening. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Sandy.
So what's on your mind?
I'm driving, so hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yeah, just be careful.
I just wanted to point to a general observation. Obviously, we know that the mainstream media pushes several false narratives, and I believe that for several years they've been pushing this false narrative that the nation's divided 50-50. If these fraud cases, I mean, I really shouldn't say if, but what they really prove is that the nation has more support for conservatism and our constitutional values than they do for the leftist propaganda that we've been seeing for the last 10-15 years. The fraudulent polls that we've been seeing, they've been false. And so earlier you said, 80 million of us. I believe that there's a greater number than that, 95 million according to the vote flipping. And I believe that the support is greater. So it's more of a sign of encouragement to let people know, hey, we're not alone. We're a bigger movement, and we will be a force to be reckoned with because, as that little bit in the inner segment said, you know, our freedoms won't die in a whimper.
Yeah, Henry, thank you. That's an excellent point, actually. It is an excellent point that they have persuaded us that the country is evenly divided, and that's really not true. You know, several years ago when I was in Chicago, the estimates were that 30% of Americans were very liberal, 30% were very conservative, and then there was a middle 30%. And then somehow that faded by the wayside, and we went to this 50-50 notion. And I think because the elections have been coming out that way, Henry, that's probably what they're basing it on. But your point is very well taken. So thanks a lot, and be careful driving. Let's go to Arkansas. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you?
Hey, Sandy, so thankful for you. In Northwest Arkansas, we've been having Stop the Steal rallies and prayer vigils. We're having one this Sunday. We tried to have it Saturday, but location was bad. Also, I have my signs. I have a lighted sign in the field that says Trump in big, you know, Christmas lights that I've had up throughout the whole election. Trump and pray. And a fellow, while we were on a trip, and I have my signs along the road also still up, as do some of my neighbors. And I put out my flag every day. I take it down every night so nobody will desecrate it. And I put it out every morning. I'm wearing a Trump shirt when I go out shopping, and I get thumbs up. And people come up to talk to me, to tell me they're praying. and that we haven't lost the election yet. And when I have to, absolutely have to wear a mask, I have a Trump mask. And so when we were on a trip, you're doing your part, Rebecca. That's right. When we were on a trip to Annapolis for Thanksgiving, a fella stopped and we got his face on our Ring doorbell, and finally were able, he stopped six times, finally were able to talk to him. And he said, "We appreciate your lighted signs in the field. They lift our spirits every evening. And we'll even pay for your electricity." So he came by and visited and gave us $20 to pay for the electricity.
That's really cool.
To keep it going.
Yeah, that's great, Rebecca. And thank goodness. And you know, you've learned the, in a personal way, the art of good advertising, and it does have an effect on people, and also just the marker that no, we're not quitting, we're not stopping. And I think it is having an effect, Rebecca. I think that people, my sense is that the left is kind of quiet right now. I think they know. They know this thing was stolen, and they're just kind of holding their breath. It's the media shouting that it's over. I think they know that they are in danger of losing this thing. So anyway, thanks a lot, Rebecca, for all of those good things that you are doing. Let's go to Dana in Mississippi. Good morning, Dana.
Yes, this is Dana in Mississippi.
Yes.
Good morning, Sandy. I just wanted to thank you for your show. You are awesome, and I talk about you all the time at work and with friends, and I said, if you'll just listen, you'll thank me. But I just wanted to say a special call out to your listeners, and let's really be praying for our Supreme Court by name over the next few days. I cannot imagine the weight of the world that's on their shoulders, but we have got to get this done. This election fraud is as important as our border security. We've just got to do this right. Yeah. And thank you for what you're doing. You, ma'am, are a true patriot. Thank you. I listen to you every day. Even last night, I called my Mississippi Secretary of State. I had done the AFR action alert, and then I was also going to call to, and the mailbox was full. So where did I hear that from? From you this morning. I didn't hear it from any other news of the outlet that Mississippi added, but I heard it from you.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's cool, Dana. And thanks for those kind remarks. And I love your suggestion that we pray by name for the Supreme Court justices, because it is true that they are under incredible pressure. What do they do? You know, they don't really want, it is really not their place to decide elections. It puts them in a terrible position. And yet here we have this strife in our nation, and somebody has to be the arbitrator. Certainly the state bodies and the U.S. Congress are the ones also, but they have to do their part as well in this dispute. I don't think they're going to turn this case down. I'll be surprised if they do. I think we should be praying for them. Dana, thanks a lot. I really appreciate that so much. Let's go to Barry in Georgia. Good morning, Barry. Oh, Georgia. I didn't even give news about Georgia this morning, and I had a bunch of it. So what's on your mind?
Well, good morning, Sandy. Thank you for taking my call.
It's a pleasure.
First and foremost, I want to encourage every Georgian to call their state senator, their state representative, and to push them to contact Chris Carr, the attorney general, to join Texas in this lawsuit. And he can, from what I understand. And by the way, you know, Chris Carr's wife is chief of staff for Kelly Loeffler. Some of these things I just don't understand. And Christopher Wray, FBI director, he came out of the same law firm that King Spalding in Atlanta, that Sally Yates was a partner in.
Yes.
And yep. We definitely need to petition God each and every day to bring us back, to humble ourselves before Him. And I just thank you for taking my call.
Yeah. It's a pleasure, Barry. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. And you're right. We need to also, I would think that it would be appropriate in Georgia to call your governor and demand that he call a special session of the legislature, which he's refusing to do. And he needs to do that. So that's another action item. Barry, thanks a lot. Let's go to Tennessee and talk to Vaughn. Good morning, Vaughn.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, good, good. I want to mention, I know we don't have much time. There's a national survey that people take. I like to take surveys because I think I should participate if I want to see the results of surveys. There's a national survey that is Civics Survey. It's CIVIQS survey. And they always lead off the surveys with, who did you vote for? Or who were you going to vote for prior to the election? Now it's, who did you vote for? And if you join the website, you join their system, it's free. You can see the results of the surveys. And they publish reports on what you think about Black Lives Matter, what you think about Trump's job approval, the economy. They never publish the simple fact of, they ask you, who did you vote for? And they have a survey of like 500,000, sometimes 600,000 people, significant survey. They should be pressured to put those results out there because Trump won in a landslide.
Are you saying, Vaughn, that they take these surveys, but they won't give the results of who did you vote for? Is that what you mean?
Correct. They lead off every survey I've taken in the last several months was who do you plan to vote for, and then who did you vote for?
And then they never told you what the results were.
No, but it's about everything else, Andy. It's about what do you think about Black Lives Matter? What do you think about the economy? What do you think about Trump's job group?
Yeah.
But I've been emailing them and asking them, could I have the results of the first question you asked me, who I voted for? It's at least a 500,000 person survey, and that's a significant selection of people out there. That would show us a lot, but they don't put it
yeah.
out there.
Okay, Vaughn, that's an interesting. We'll see. Thanks so much. This is just another example of how our minds are being sort of led and controlled. And it's not like they have the left has an army that they're assigning to do that. It's that their propaganda, beginning in public schools is so powerful, and into colleges and universities, and now into professional societies of all the, like, the, whether it's the attorneys or the doctors or pediatricians or CPAs. They have purposed to go in and take over the leadership of all these professional organizations. And even though the membership was not radically left, they have started pulling the levers at the top. And people are busy doing their jobs and working, and they happen to belong and pay their dues, but they have not recognized that they've been led down a path that maybe they would not have gone if they'd understood that. Same thing happening industry, it's happening in businesses, large businesses. They're taking over corporate ballrooms. And so the infiltration is huge. And I do think that China is involved in this in a very major way. But we have a lot of willing players. Social media companies are happy to join. Wall Street's happy to do their part because they were making tons of money off China. That's why they want President Trump out and Joe Biden in. But it's such short-sighted thinking. All right, I want to close the show by saying, yes, I am a patriotic American. I love my country, but I want you to know it's God I love and serve first. And whatever happens, I will trust Him and be faithful to Him and still fight for my country. It's not mutually exclusive, but that's the order of things. Sandy Rios in the Morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.